Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
So I'm wondering if you will do a quick mental exercise with me. I want you to think back to the last five things you watched and ask yourself, were they TV shows or movies? Okay, so for me, it's been pretty much TV lately. The Queen's Gambit, The Mandalorian. I even joined the rest of All of America and took a stab at watching Schitt's Creek. And with so many of us stuck at home and movie theaters closed again or closing tomorrow, it has been a banner year for TV. And as Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr writes, that is a problem for the movie industry. So here to discuss the future of movies and bring us some great films we may have missed while we were, you know, binging The Queen's Gambit is Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Ty, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So don't judge me, Ty. I do love movies, but it's kind of been hard to get into the movie rhythm at home when this new normal. You know, am I alone in that?
No, don't judge me. I'm watching just as many TV shows as you are. There's really great programming out there. We've all been sucked into some of these fantastic shows like Queen's Gambit. And it helps that they're, you know, not 24 episodes or 36 episodes, but, you know, 8 or 12, and that, you know, we can dip into it like a good novel. But it is a different experience than sitting down for a 2-hour movie. And I'm still curious about why we seem to be resisting that. I'm wondering if it's because it's over too soon. We want something to draw us to next day or through the week, or what's going on here? I'm not sure.
Well, let's dive into some films. Again, I love movies. I've loved them all my life. And I looked at this list that you recently published of 10 of your favorite movies that you watched in the past year. I had actually seen one of them, Palm Springs. The whole list made me excited to see some films in the next couple of weeks. Let's start with Palm Springs. Maybe you can tell people a little bit about what that's about.
Oh, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. It's probably going to end up in my top 10 list. I saw it in a theater at the Sundance Film Festival back in January, which seems like it was about 80 years ago. It's a screwball romantic comedy. It's the kind of thing that they don't make well anymore, but they did this time. It stars Andy Samberg, you know, ex of Saturday Night Live, and an actress named Kristen Milioti, who I was unfamiliar with, but who's absolutely wonderful. I'll just say that they meet at a wedding that kind of goes on forever and ever. And it is, the movie's kind of a fusion of the wedding comedy and another movie that's really well known that I'm not going to tell you because it would give a little too much away.
Oh, no, we're going to give like everything away in a second. So spoiler alert for listeners.
Okay.
It's still worth watching. And Ty, you jump in.
It's a Wedding Crashers versus meets Groundhog Day. Let's put it that way.
and that's perfect. So let's listen to a little bit of it, okay? Because that is actually the perfect description. Here is a snippet. This is when Niles, played by Andy Samberg, confronts Sarah, played by, you just mentioned her, Kristen Milioti, about her crashing into actor J.K. Simmons with a police car.
What the hell is going on with you?
What? You got a little out of hand.
You think?
Sorry.
The pain is real. Why can't you understand that?
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters, right? Those are your words.
No, pain matters. What we do to other people matters. Being a source of terror is not fun, okay? It's not fulfilling. I know this from experience. It doesn't matter that everything resets and people don't remember. We remember. We have to deal with the things that we do.
So it's this fascinating combination, Ty, right, of funny and mean and endearing and empathetic and heavy
and
moral question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go ahead.
In the same way that Groundhog Day was, you know, a hilarious comedy that touched on deeper matters and stayed with you and you play around it within your head for days and weeks. But this has the additional element of just fantastic chemistry between the two leads. They are just delightful together. And it's probably one of the most purely pleasurable movies that I've watched even with all these sort of heavy metaphysics going on. And yes, J.K. Simmons shows up with a bow and arrow at one point. Don't ask. But my only regret is that you can only find it on Hulu. It was bought by Hulu at Sundance, and that's where it is for right now. So you have to be subscribed to Hulu to see it, which is part of a larger issue. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do want to go there, but I do, just for listeners, I want to give them one other movie from your list, because I got so excited about seeing this one. This one's available on Amazon Prime right now, The Vast of Night. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Okay, this is a movie that came from absolutely out of nowhere. It's a Midwestern commercial filmmaker named Andrew Patterson. He's made his first feature film, kind of crowdsourced the money, get local actors to be in the cast. Imagine Close Encounters set in the 50s with two teenagers sort of figuring out what's going on. And it's a movie that is absolutely low budget and yet makes the most of its low budget and really is atmospheric, draws you into the story. And at the end, you realize you've seen something very, very special.
So we pulled some sound from this one, too, to give people a sense of that. This is right at the beginning of the movie. The main character, Everett, played by Jake Horowitz, is called over to the local high school basketball game to deal with some electrical issues. Pam Doherty plays Mrs. McBroom. Let's listen to this.
I told them to turn the power off during the tornado, but they don't listen to me. Last time this happened, it was a squirrel that had bitten through the wire. Squirrel still had the wire in his mouth.
Yeah, man.
And we had a rat gnaw through the scoreboard wire. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Uh-huh. And an owl made his home in the library attic, so we had all these critter bones laying around the crawl space where we keep the marching band uniforms. Helen Trank had a bat skull in her pocket.
Oh, man.
Why are you...
No, wait. I did that.
Arnold, get out now!
Hold it.
Okay, so I'm in love. Just from that 36 seconds. And, you know, the streaming, The Queen's Gambit, all the other ones we've already talked about, there is something that you can get in a film that is just different. And did we just hear an example of it?
Yes, I think you did. You've got a locale. It creates a sense of place and it takes you there. And in this case, it really takes you to a unique created place, gives you a couple people to follow through it. Everett, who you kind of heard reacting to that woman, and this younger classmate who he meets. And they're the only two people in town that realize something weird is going on in the skies over this little town. And 2 hours later, it ends, and I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but it's a complete piece. And it is the work of people making something they really love. They're not Hollywood people. I imagine if we ever get back to work, Andrew Patterson is going to get called to Hollywood and get a budget. That would be really interesting to see what he does with that. But this is the kind of thing that you can discover, consume, and walk away from and carry around in your head for quite some time and not have to go back and extend it out for a long time.
So, Ty, but yeah, will Andrew Patterson ever get called to Hollywood? Is Hollywood going to go back to work in the way that, I mean, for decades, we just assumed was what happened and how movies got made and that there would be movies?
They are going to be made. They're going to be made pretty much the same way. Production is already coming back to life with, you know, observing various, protocols. But the way we see them is irrevocably changed. The industry has already reacted to the pandemic by rushing in and putting all their eggs in the streaming basket. Disney is now putting some of their theatrical movies, sending them straight to Disney Plus. Warner Brothers and AT&T, its corporate owner, announced that they are putting out all of its major blockbusters of 2021, including a number of ones that were supposed to open in 2020, that are going to be in theaters and coming on demand on HBO Max on the same day. That is a huge sea change in how the movie business releases movies.
Is that going to kill theaters, Ty? I mean, is the day of the movie theater over?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not so sure. I think the multiplex chains are in deep danger. AMC has already said it's likely to go bankrupt by January. Regal Cinemas has indefinitely shuttered its theaters. I don't know how long they can hold on. And this new announcement from Warner Brothers and Disney's basically restructuring itself around streaming has made theaters look like, the second venue instead of the first. Ironically, independent theaters are doing better. They, not that they've stayed open, but they have been making independent films available through virtual screenings where you buy a ticket online, watch it at home, and some of that money goes to the theaters, to the, you know, the art house theaters like the Coolidge in Brookline or the Brattle in Cambridge, both of which have been doing virtual screenings throughout the pandemic. So those smaller films, 2020 has been a year without blockbusters, but ironically, the smaller films and the smaller theaters have been eking out survival more successfully.
All right, so sort of last question for you. You just talked about blockbusters. I know people are going to watch this new one coming out, Wonder Woman 1984. It requires a lot of ticket sales to make those big budget movies. Do you think we will see the end of the blockbuster?
I don't think we'll see the end of the blockbuster. When we go back to normal, whatever normal is, I don't think we're going to stop going to movie theaters. We need that group experience. I mean, that goes back, that's in our DNA. That goes back to telling stories around the campfire when we were cavemen. We need to have that. But we will be reserving theaters for the really big ticket items. And I think we'll be seeing everything else at home.
Wow, that is something to contemplate. Ty Burr is a film critic for the Boston Globe. Ty, this was fun. Thanks for taking the time today.
Sure. Thank you, Tiziana.